Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
Hello, everyone. You are Locked On Falcons and Locked On Jets. It is a crossover pod. I am Aaron Freeman, joined by John Butchko. We are going to be previewing this upcoming Week 8 matchup between the Atlanta Falcons and the New York Jets. This crossover pod is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Enter the promo code Locked On in order to get your 100% deposit bonus from mybookie.ag. All right, John, how you feeling about the New York Jets going into this? Would you categorize it as a critical sort of game to get their season back on track?
You know, I like to avoid the superlatives heading into a game in October, but I do think that this is a very important game for the Jets because yeah, they got off to a very surprising start. They were 3-2 a couple weeks ago. Now you lose two in a row. And in the NFL, these things can snowball very quickly. It could be it's something I talked about on Locked On Jets earlier this week, where you can be 3-3 one moment, and then before you snap of a finger, it's like you're 3-7. So you want to avoid a three-game losing streak if you're the Jets. What's the Falcons' perspective going into this one?
Well, I think it is a pretty critical win for the Falcons. They are 0-3 in the AFC East. So right now they're in dead last in the AFC East. They've lost three straight games. Their offense has been stagnant. They've been looking for sort of a rebound game these last couple of weeks. They're in the middle of a three-game road stand. And to sort of, they obviously lost on Sunday Night Football to the Patriots, and to go on the road again and lose to a Jets team that I think a lot of people, at least going into the season, would have looked at these two teams at polar opposite ends of the NFL. And if the Falcons drop another loss, that'll be four in a row. You know, they'll be winless in the AFC East, and they have five of their last six games at the end of the season are against the NFC South, and the assumption is that they can't even get one win in the NFC in the AFC East, then it's going to be really difficult for them to get a win in the NFC South. So this is sort of a must-win game, even though it seems a little silly to say that against a non-conference opponent in late October. But the Falcons really do need to find a way to get a W and get out of this skid and get some confidence back before they get into the sort of the meat of their schedule.
So let me ask this. You mentioned the offense is kind of stagnant. What are the issues?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you've been, you know, hearing it, but it's been a lot of talk of the play calling with Steve Sarkisian taking over from Kyle Shanahan. There have been issues with the play calling against the Patriots. They had a big sort of prominent failure on fourth and one at the goal line in which they ran a jet sweep. It's been sort of universally criticized as a bad play call. It was one of several sort of questionable play calls in that Patriots game. And the Falcons went essentially starting in the second at halftime against the Dolphins in week six. And until the fourth quarter, the final few minutes of the Patriots game, they went 91 minutes of, you know, six quarters of game time without scoring a single point. They've also been struggling at the quarterback position. Matt Ryan has been really spotty on his deep throws this year, and it's really left a lot of plays, big plays on the field that could have put them in prime position to get points in some of these games throughout the season. And so, you know, the brunt of the issues are with Steve Sarkisian, but, you know, second to that is sort of Matt Ryan being a little bit off the mark after a really stellar MVP season in 2016.
Well, Aaron, I mean, I hear what you're saying. I'm not sure you're going to have many Jets fans from the Jets side, at least, very sympathetic when you hear about Matt Ryan, though, when you look at what the Jets have had roll out at quarterback these last few years.
Yeah, I'm curious about that. You know, I've watched the last couple of Jets games. It seems like Josh McCown, at least from my perspective, and you know, I've seen a lot of Josh McCown over the years and been sort of underwhelmed, and I'm sure Jets fans have felt the same way. But it does seem like he has a knack for sort of extending plays outside the pocket and maybe heaving up a couple of big plays down the field these last couple of games. But against that Miami team in the final quarters, he made sort of a critical mistake with an interception that really sort of gave Miami the chance to win that game and pull out that last second win. Are the Jets reaching a point where they might be thinking of making a quarterback change there?
I don't think so. I think that McCown is their starter. During the preseason, their young quote unquote quarterback of the future, Christian Hackenberg, they gave him every chance to win the job. He got most of the preseason snaps and he really was not up to the task. In fact, to the point where Hackenberg's not even dressing for games. Bryce Petty is the number two quarterback. And if you followed college football a few years ago, you may remember Petty at Baylor. Petty, you know, is the backup right now, but I've always got the feeling that if they believed Petty was a viable alternative, they never would have gone out and paid McCown $6 million, which is not a ton for a quarterback, but it is for a quarterback who you were not necessarily handing the starting job to. So I'm not sure where their belief is in Petty right now. And I think Hackenberg just showed he's not ready. I'm not sure whether Hackenberg will ever be ready to start in the NFL, but if he is, it probably won't be this year. And I think that they're happy in what they're getting from McCown. Now, it's a great topic of debate among Jets fans. There are stretches where he plays very well. And in fact, that Miami game, he accounted for 4 touchdowns. The issue with him, more than anything, is just this is a 38-year-old guy. He's been in the league since 2002, and he just does not play a smart game. He makes rookie mistakes when it comes to understanding scoring time, understanding what risks you can take at a given point in the game. And that play against Miami was a perfect example. He'd been kind of flirting with disaster for the last few weeks, and he kind of got lucky where defenders were dropping big interceptions in the fourth quarter, weren't recovering fumbles, and it finally came back to bite him. But I think that the Jets are pleased with what they're getting from McCown, and I think they believe McCown is the best quarterback on the roster, which if you ask a lot of Jets fans, a lot will agree with that statement, and a lot of others will say, I want to see what Petty has. So I think the Jets fan base is divided a little bit right now, but the Jets organization views McCown as the starter for this team.
Certainly. Now, we're going to come back with a little bit more Falcons-Jets talk, but I want to let the people know that this episode is brought to you by mybookie.ag. We get a lot of betting advice from people. People ask us for betting advice. They ask us, are the Falcons going to win? Are the Jets going to cover? This week's line is 4.5 points. I can tell you this, guys, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on. So that's why I'm telling people to go to mybookie.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for up to 100% deposit bonus. There are plenty of online sports books out there, but mybookie.ag is the only one that gets my stamp of approval. It is by far the best sports book I've ever used. They've been in business for years. Their reputation is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so right off the bat, you're making money for doing absolutely nothing. And they have the fastest payouts, seriously, just 2 business days. You can have your own glitzy Las Vegas casino experience right from your smartphone. Go to mybookie.ag and place your bets. Tell them I sent you by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, John, I'm curious about this Jets offense and really sort of how they're going to attack the Falcons defense. Looking at the Falcons defense, they've really been struggling to defend the run. They're 30th ranked right now in Football Outsiders DVOA rankings. I feel like a lot of teams recently have done an effective job by using their running game and controlling the clock to sort of keep the Falcons offense off the field. Even though the Falcons offense has been struggling, they certainly have the playmakers that if they do sort of break their slump, they are pretty dangerous. Looking at the Jets, they have this 3-headed monster in the backfield with Bilal Powell, Matt Forte, and Elijah McGuire. Do you feel like that running back by committee system will be able to do enough to sort of keep the Jets' ground game in front of this game and keeping the Falcons' offense off the field? And is there one particular running back that you feel pretty confident can sort of take the lead and really be the guy that they can sort of workhorse if they're going to try to pound the rock down the Falcons' throat?
I think I'm going to surprise you a little bit with the guy I'm going to give you. because it's probably not the guy you and Falcons fans are think it is. I think most people would look at the Jets and they think it's Matt Forte, because Forte's had a tremendous career, but you can see he's near the end of the line. He doesn't really have a lot of explosion left. I think he's better served being a complimentary back, uses craftiness as a route runner a little bit. I think Bilal Powell is the most complete back on this team right now. And he was a guy that the Jets drafted in the fourth round in 2011. And it's kind of an incredible story, because his first few years, he really did not look like much of a player. He looked like an okay guy. And really, since this new coaching staff took over about 2 years ago, which fifth year of his career, he started looking more explosive than ever, which, you know, usually by the time a player is in his fifth year, you already know what he is. Powell has just kept getting better. He's a complete guy. He runs routes well. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. He's got a second gear, reads his blocks well. So I think Powell is the guy. And I think the Jets probably are going to establish the run. They're going to try to establish the run against the Falcons. Their new offensive coordinator is John Morton. And you're probably going to see a lot of concepts that you're familiar with the NFC South, because Morton comes from New Orleans, and you can really see the Sean Payton influence in this offense. And one of the things that is evident is that Morton took from Payton is that the Jets really alter their game plan each week, trying to attack the opponent's strengths. One week they'll run the ball a lot, another week they'll do something different. They'll spread it out. It's really kind of a different offense each week. So I think, given what you're saying about the Falcons, you will see them try to establish the run. And I think that's probably, I would like to see more of that, because to me, the running backs are the best thing on the offense for the Jets. And frankly, they might be the only good thing, because you look at the other spots on the field, you've got an offensive line that's kind of average. You have McCown, who's a limited quarterback. The group of receivers is, you know, the receiver, you have some guys who belong in the NFL. You have Jermaine Curse, you have Robbie Anderson, you have Jeremy Curley. These are NFL players, but you don't have any high-end starters in that group. Now, tight end, you got a guy, Austin Seferian Jenkins, who looks like he may be emerging a little bit. But to me, the running backs are the best thing on this offense, and I think that those are the guys the Jets need to utilize, not just in this game, but going forward.
Well, it's interesting, because I feel the exact same way about the Falcons' offense. I think with their sort of recent struggles, I think despite all of that, Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman have been excellent these last couple of weeks. I think Freeman has sort of really emerged and put his name with this type of season he's having so far as one of the, you know, in the conversation for the best running back in the league, alongside guys like Le'Veon Bell, among others, and Zeke Elliott. It's interesting to me, because I think part of the reason why he's probably not immediately thought of, because the Falcons really have sort of gone away from the running game a little bit these last couple of years. They've sort of been a little bit more balanced with spreading the amount of carries between Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman the last couple of weeks. Earlier in the season, it seemed to be a heavy dose of Devontae Freeman. And I think in order for the Falcons offense to really sort of get back on track, they have to go back to basics and do what they do well, which is run the football and use the play action passing game, which has been sort of up and down this season in terms of how much it's been used from the Steve Sarkisian offense, as opposed to the Kyle Shanahan offense, which was sort of a critical component of that offense. And I'm curious, are you confident with the Jets' defensive front? You know, you have some stalwart interior players like Leonard Williams and Mo Wilkerson. Do you feel like if the Falcons do decide to go into this game and really sort of control the ball on the ground and use their running game to pound the ball against the Jets, do you feel like that defensive line and that front will be able to hold up against the Falcons' outside zone running scheme?
It depends on which Jets' defensive line shows up. Believe it or not, the defensive line has been kind of a weakness for stretches of this season. And finally, last week, you saw signs of life where they had a good game shutting down the run against Miami. Jay Ajayi was kind of held in check. And it's actually been a bit of a surprise, because heading into the season, now the Jets traded Sheldon Richardson, their former first-round pick, right before the start of the regular season. But even without him, it looked like there was enough talent on this defensive line. But they've been getting consistently gashed in the run game up to last week. Now, against Miami, it looks like they may have turned a corner a little bit. The question is, was that a one-game aberration, or was it the sign that things are actually turning around? Leonard Williams has actually had, I think, a little bit of a disappointing third year, not quite meeting expectations. But Wilkerson, is a guy who ever since he signed his big contract last year, and I'm not sure it's a cause and effect. I'm not going to say it's because he signed the big contract, but he just has not been the same player. He's really just – he's almost been a negative out there for the Jets. You know, back a few two, three years ago, he was a guy who was lining up everywhere, constantly winning his assignments, constantly penetrating into the backfield, making plays. And he just has been a he's just been a guy out there for most of the last year and a half. Now, he had a big game against Miami, so the question is, are these signs of life a sign that he's about to turn the corner, recapture some of that old form? We don't know. I guess we'll find out. But on this topic, I'm interested because you kind of touched on this. I think whenever you go into a game against the Falcons, your first thought is, okay, we need to shut down Julio Jones. But I'm wondering whether the key to beating the Falcons is stopping the run first and preventing them from establishing play action. I'm just interested in your thoughts. And maybe the answer is as simple as Julio Jones is maybe the best receiver in the league. Of course, the answer is shutting him down. But what do you think is the key to stopping this Atlanta offense?
Well, it's interesting because I think some weeks it's been interesting to watch this team because sometimes there have been weeks this season where when teams have been able to control the line, it's like the Miami game they played 2 weeks ago, the Dolphins did a pretty effective job keeping the Falcons' run game contained for a large portion of that game. And it didn't at first really sort of slow down the Falcons because they got out to a 7-0 lead. But as the game sort of wore on and Miami started to come back in that game and the Falcons started to get a little bit more pass-heavy, their offense sort of stagnated. And really looking at the season, the issues with the Falcons have primarily been with their passing game. And I think if you can stop the running game, then that sort of takes something off the table in their passing game, despite their weapons, despite, you know, the pedigree of the players that they have, has been a little bit more inconsistent this year. And I do think that does give a defense probably a better chance of winning a game if you can sort of stop the run and sort of force the Falcons to be a little bit more one-dimensional this week.
And I think that a guy to watch for the Jets, and this is at the risk of sounding obvious, is Jamal Adams, who's lining up in the box quite a bit. Todd Bowles likes to use a lot of one gap against the run. He likes his guys to be able to shoot gaps, penetrate, and Adams plays a big role in this defense. Adams is responsible for covering a lot of ground. Of course, down in SEC country, you're probably familiar with Adams, played at LSU. And the Jets also have another rookie safety, also SEC player, Marcus May, who has really been stellar. They use him as to play center field quite a bit in this scheme. He's responsible for deep middle. They put a lot on his plate, and they really put a lot on plate of both rookies, and both have really done a very solid job so far. So those are two key guys to watch. I think Adams against the run and probably May as when the Falcons look to throw the ball down the field.
Yeah, I'm curious about those two young guys and some of the other young guys they have on their defense. I know Darren Lee was the linebacker they used the number one pick on in 2016, and he's sort of been a little bit up and down this year. I'm wondering, with the Todd Bowles scheme, which is a very blitz-heavy scheme, do you feel like they'll be aggressive and dial up those blitzes? I know Adams has been a big component in sort of being a guy that they blitz a lot from that safety position. Do you feel like the Jets will be aggressive against this Falcons team, given, you know, the presence of players like Julio Jones and Taylor Gabriel and Mohamed Sanu on the outside? Or do you feel like Bowles might sort of dial things back and play it safe, given some of the youth he has in the secondary and in the back end, and afraid that maybe if he gets a little bit too aggressive, that may give the Falcons some opportunities to get their passing game back on track and gash him for some big plays?
I would anticipate seeing lots of blitzes. That's just who Bowles is. That's the way his scheme runs. I would anticipate Maurice Claiborne will have Julio Jones a lot. They've been using Claiborne to shadow receivers quite a bit. And Claiborne they signed him on a one-year prove-it deal, $5 million a year. I'm sorry, $5 million this year. And I think he's been kind of up and down, but I think he's been a pretty solid value for $5 million. Now, if you're getting the type of play at, like, say, $14-15 million, I'm not sure Claiborne's providing that, but at $5 million, he's been a pretty good value. So I think he'll probably be the guy who will be matched up against Jones. Now, I'm not sure how much I like that matchup from a Jets perspective, but I think that that's where this game's heading. I think that's going to be one of the key matchups. So,
okay. You know, I think this matchup does give the Falcons plenty of opportunities to sort of get their offense back on track this week, given some of the questions with the Jets run defense, given the sort of the aggressive scheme will put their back end defenders on an island a little bit. And that should give some of the Falcons playmakers an opportunity to sort of win in those situations. It feels like this is going to be a game, and looking at some of the stats with the Falcons and Jets, both the teams are towards the bottom of the league in terms of allowing second half points. It feels like this is going to be a game that's going to be won or lost in the fourth quarter. I know you talked about Josh McCown sort of making some of these mistakes late in games that you wouldn't expect from a veteran quarterback. The Falcons have really sort of struggled to close out games, really, you know, ever since that Super Bowl loss that everybody certainly reminds us of constantly. And I do wonder, do you feel like this is with the Jets playing at home, or is there anything that sort of gives you confidence that if this game does come down to the last few minutes, the Jets will have something in their arsenal to sort of pull out a potentially close win?
I'll tell you, the one thing that really stands out about this Jets team is how hard they're playing this year. And I think, you know, last year the Jets had a very, very rough year. They had a lot of big name players. They had a lot of big egos in the locker room, and they got rid of a lot of those guys this year. And this year's team, it doesn't have a lot of talent, but this team is playing very hard for its head coach. So I think that's what you have. That's what you have going. I don't think this might be one of the least talented rosters in the league, but they're getting, so far the whole has been greater than the sum of the parts for this team. And they have won a couple tight games at home, and they lost a tight game against New England a couple weeks ago on partially due to a very controversial call. I'm sure you and your listeners heard about it, but yeah, I think home field matters. I think the crowd's been great this year, and I think this has been a scrappy team. I think this has been a team that has handled adversity pretty well. You have to remember that after week two, they had been blown out by the Oakland Raiders. They started 0-2, and it really felt like this group was circling the drain. All the preseason prognostications were that this team was going to be very bad at the bottom of the league, and then they ran off three straight wins. And even in that loss I mentioned to New England, they got a bad call against them. It should have been a touchdown to cut New England's lead to 3 in the fourth quarter. It was ruled a fumble. New England's up 10 with the ball in the fourth quarter. And I can't tell you how many Jets teams, not just last year's team, but how many Jets teams since I've watched them would have allowed New England to put together a time-consuming drive, go right down the field and score and put the game away. That Jets team kept fighting, and they actually had a shot to tie the game in the last minute. So I think this is a scrappy team. I think this is a team that's handled adversity well. I think they're playing hard. So, I mean, I'm not going to predict that they'll win, but I think that they have a real shot if it's a tight game.
Yeah, I think the Falcons are sort of counting on their defense finally trying to create some turnovers. They're dead last in the league in terms of takeaways per game this year. I know the Jets are pretty low in terms of giveaways this per game. I think this is the week that the Falcons hope that their defense can come alive, get some turnovers, create some opportunities for their offense to sort of get back on track and really sort of, you know, I'm not overly confident given the way that the Falcons have played these past 3 weeks, but I do feel like on paper, at least, this is a great opportunity for this team to sort of get their season back on track and sort of get a win and try to, you know, sort of stall this slide towards the mediocrity. And I think they will have an opportunity against this Jets team, and I'm hopeful that they will find a way to get it done.
So let me ask you this. Can you just take us a little bit through the Falcons' defensive scheme, just a brief summary, and who are the guys that really make this defensive scheme work when it's humming, when it's playing well?
They come from the Seahawks school, which is a cover three based 4-3 defense. But the Falcons have really sort of gone to more of a cover one man heavy defense. They love to play man coverage on third downs. They like to get up in the faces of wide receivers and whatnot. And so I think because the Jets don't necessarily have that sort of game breaking wide receiver, I think they won't have no problems trying to man up this Jets receiver core. You know, some of their best players are Desmond Trufant on the outside. He's one of the premier corners in the league. Keanu Neal, their second-year strong safety, has been outstanding this season, both as a run defender and in coverage. He did a pretty good job against Rob Gronkowski on Sunday. I suspect he'll be asked quite a bit to cover Austin Seferian Jenkins. And so far, the results so far this season suggest that he will be able to, you know, handle that assignment. Deion Jones is the sort of linebacker in the middle linebacker, brings a lot of speed, brings a lot of coverage potential. So I think they'll ask him to sort of handle the speed at the running back position with guys like Forte and Powell and McGuire out of the backfield in the passing game. And I think Grady Jarrett in the Falcons defensive line going up against this Jets offensive line that's, from what I can tell, and I'm curious if you would agree, has been really struggling at various times. I think Jarrett will have some opportunities to sort of get some pressure on the interior. Vic Beasley, typically, last year, a lot of his sacks, he was the NFL leader in sacks with 15 and a half last year, and he tended to prey on sort of low-level starters or backup players. I know the Jets are dealing with an injury to right tackle Brandon Shell, so if Brett Qualley winds up starting this game, that sort of sets up perfectly for Vic Beasley to sort of repeat the success that he had last year and maybe get a number of pressures coming off that left side of the defensive line going up against the right tackle. So I think the Falcons match up fairly well with this Jets offense, and if they can sort of control the line of scrimmage a lot better than they have so far this year with their pass rush, with their run defense, I think they will be able to do some damage.
Yeah, I tell you, I kind of lost my attention when you started talking about Trufant, because from a Jets perspective, that just reminds you of the 2013 draft class when they took the first corner off the board. And it was Dee Milner, who I don't believe is in the league anymore. It was not a very successful pick. But yeah, I think that the big concern for the Jets on the offensive line is the center position. Wesley Johnson, who was their backup center, played a lot last year when Nick Mangold was hurt. They brought him back, and it really just has not worked out. It's been a struggle. He struggled at the point of attack to block. Jets have been in bad protections at various points, critical passing downs. It really hasn't worked out. So, you know, if you're looking for the weak link on the offensive line, I think it is the center position, Wesley Johnson. And you pointed it out, Brandon Shell, injury concern, did not participate in practice, neck injury on Wednesday. We'll see what happens going forward. Brent Qualley is a guy who's played quite a bit the last 2 years. The Jets have had a lot of injuries at right tackle the last 2 years, but he's a guy who is really a marginal player, a marginal backup at this point.
Yeah, you know, I don't think it's a good omen that you say your center position with Wesley Johnson is a problem spot, because that's typically the spot where the Falcons like to line up Grady Jarrett playing that nose tackle, where he can be a little bit more of a penetrator. But they also have Don Terry Poe. They just picked up Ataba Rubin off the scrap heap from the Broncos. He's expected to sort of help out in their defensive line rotation. So this will be a good week for their defensive line, hopefully to build some confidence and sort of really get after Josh McCown and create some pressure. And then hopefully that will lead to some errant throws from Josh McCown and create some interception opportunities on the back end from a really solid secondary that's really looking for a chance to sort of capitalize.
Yeah, very well. Like I said earlier, I think the Jets need to establish the run in this one.
Definitely. So you said earlier that you don't think the Jets are a favorite to win, but do you have any expectations, maybe a score prediction for our Falcon listeners?
Well, I'll tell you something. I don't really do predictions. I actually, but I do pick the games in private. Last week I picked the Jets to beat Miami, and that didn't work out so well. So I will pick the Falcons. I actually do think they're going to win this game. I think that this is a good game for the Falcons to bounce back. I think in a lot of areas, their strengths match up well with the Jets' weaknesses. I think the Jets will play hard. I think they'll keep it tight. I'll go with something like, let's say, 20-17, Atlanta.
Okay. Yeah, I that's about where I'm thinking. I think it would be a pretty close game. I don't expect the Falcons to come out and sort of look like the team that people thought they would be heading into the season. But I do feel like this will be an opportunity for them to sort of get a win. I'm thinking something along the lines of 24-20. And I do think it should be a pretty close game going into the fourth quarter. And I think a turnover here, a big play here or there could certainly swing the game in the Jets' favor or in the Falcons' favor, but I do expect that to go in the Falcons' favor at this point. Well, John, is there anything else that you want to discuss before we head out of here?
No, I think we covered everything pretty well. It was great talking with you.
All right. Let my listeners know where they can find your stuff, and I certainly will tell your listeners that if they want to talk Falcons, they can find me on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course they can find me on the Locked On Falcons podcast, where podcasts are found.
GangreneNation.com. That's where I cover the Jets.
Well, John, I appreciate you talking with me, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this game goes and seeing, you know, whether the scrappy Jets team, as you put it, is able to sort of take advantage of this Falcon team and whether the Falcons can finally get their first win in the AFC East this year.
Same here. This is great chatting with you. It's too bad these teams only play once every 4 years, because I'd love to do this again.
Yeah, certainly. Maybe there will be a day soon, maybe not this year, but soon, where they might meet each other in the postseason.
Well, let's hope so.
All right. Well, John, I appreciate it, and you have a good night.
You too. Napa
Know How. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How. Napa Know How. At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.